Anybody here Jewish? You know why I'm asking that question? For most of Christian history, this celebration has been known and experienced, celebrated as Christmas for Gentiles, because it was the Magi, the Gentiles, who recognize the Savior and give him worship. On Christmas, we celebrate the shepherds recognizing Jesus, and the shepherds were, 4 o'clock mass yesterday, everybody said Gentiles, and I said, no, that's not right. The shepherds were Jewish. The angels, they recognized, were the angels Jewish? I don't know. Jerry, were the angels Jewish? Yes, and they're both. In fact, on this day, for most of Christian history, is when presents were exchanged. So I ask all the kids, would you like to have waited until now to open all your presents? For a lot of history, that was Christian tradition, because it was here where the presents of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were given to the Lord, and the Gentiles worshiped. So let us now be glad that the salvation of God has been opened to us. And let us ask his help now to examine our conscience, so that we can acknowledge our sins, so that we might turn to him to receive freedom and mercy, which he eagerly desires to give to those who turn to him with faith and repentance.
Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, you revealed your Son to the nations by the guidance of a star. Lead us to your glory in heaven by the light of faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about you. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah and from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord. Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice endow the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord. Justice shall flower in his days, and peace till the moon be no more. May he from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord. Kings of every land shall offer gifts. From near and far they come to bring their tribute. All kings shall pay him their homage. All nations shall serve him. Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord. He shall have pity on the lowly ones, and he shall rescue the poor when they cry out. He is hope for the afflicted and all the lost. The lives of the poor he shall save. Every nation on earth will adore you, Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A number of years ago, I found myself in an embarrassing position to me personally. Don't exactly remember the context, but it was one of these really big liturgies down at the cathedral, and there was maybe multiple cardinals there, certainly many bishops, maybe 100 priests or more, and the cathedral choir and trumpets and TV cameras and pomp and pageantry and all of that. Might have been an ordination of bishops, or I don't remember. And that certainly wasn't my first one of those things, and I don't know if I was tired or sick or ornery, or I just found myself a little critical and saying, I can't hear, and it's too warm in here, and this would be better if it was that way. And afterwards, I was talking to somebody from the parish here who was there. I don't actually remember who the person was, but I remember the experience clearly. They were saying, oh my goodness, that was just so inspiring. I'll never forget that. I mean, my goodness, they did such an excellent job. And I said, good for them. And I felt embarrassed. I felt that they were more disposed to receive what God was doing there than I was. You ever been in that position where somebody seeing the same things you have are experiencing them in a very different way? I mean, I know that happens in coming to church here for people regularly. I mean, I know that there are some folks who look forward to coming to church. It's one, if not the best part of their week. They look forward to hearing the Word of God. They hunger for the Eucharist. They know that they will find peace here, that God will do something in them. And there's others who are saying, come on, come on, come on, you know, I mean, can you wrap this up? Can we get out of here faster? I mean, there's the football game, come on. Two different experiences of the same thing. Are they hearing anything different? No. Are they seeing anything different? No. But their experience is really different. I started a number of years ago observing these dichotomies more precisely in meditating on today's gospel, where talk about two different experiences of the same events. How about the Magi and Herod? The Magi have left all that's familiar. They've gone to a foreign land. They're seeking religious truth outside of their own tradition. They're making themselves vulnerable and dependent to other kings because they're searching for something, and they've found what they're searching for, and they're not going to give up until they receive it. And Herod, actually, he's the one who should know better. He's the one with Jewish roots. He's the one who's responsible as a king at that time for the Jewish people, and all he can do is squash it. He wants to control it. He wants to get rid of it. They're both experiencing the breaking forth of the kingdom of God on planet Earth. And one sees something marvelous, and one sees something that they treat as evil. What's the difference between me and this person who got much more out of that mass downtown, between somebody who experiences a lot and not much here, or between Herod and the Magi? I actually think the answer is pretty easy. The difference is faith. It's faith that the scriptures tell us reveals things that are not seen. And we walk by faith if we want to walk as spiritual people, not by natural sight. It's a supernatural ability given to the sons and daughters of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith reveals things that natural sight doesn't. That's the way we're called to live. And the more we walk in faith, the more that we'll see. What did the Magi see as they pursued the star? As they, in fact, were pursuing Jesus. Three brief things. One, they saw salvation as something universal. They were looking outside of their own religious upbringing. They saw that this was something God was doing that was open for all. We of all people should know salvation is universal, because the word Catholic means what? That's what it means. It means universal, and sometimes we can take that narrowly in the sense that universal means there's Catholics all over the world, and that's one meaning of it. But it also means that God wants everybody to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his plan. And we've got a unique part to play in that. We have the full deposit of the truth, but that doesn't mean we're better than other people, does it? Doesn't mean God loves us more. As Catholics, we can, I think, get parochial. We can get a little territorial. We can, you know, the Baptists are crazy, and, you know, the Lutherans caused it all, and, you know, the Orthodox, they just got way too much smoke, and, you know, I mean, other people should know better, and I know that in this area, many of us struggle with kind thoughts about our Muslim neighbors, and it's very easy to get judgmental, to think we're better than they are. If anything, we're their servants. Servants of the truth, examples of love and charity. God wants everybody. The breadth of his plan destroys our categories. It wants to involve everybody. It's inclusive. That's what our instincts should be. Inclusive in charity, inclusive in wanting to bring all to the truth, and knowing that without God's grace, we would be in that position too, and we're servants of that truth now. On this day, when the Gentiles come and bow before the little Jewish Savior, we acknowledge salvation is for all. Magi also saw something. They saw that seeking the truth is effort. They had to go out of their way. They had to disrupt some of the otherwise familiar patterns of their life. They needed to get out of their comfort zones. Because the truth is worth it. Because God is the consuming reality of our lives. Sometimes we can take things for granted, or we can be a little bit more passive and not pursue God's truth, his will for our lives, his service with a wholehearted pursuit that God deserves. And that in our heart of hearts, we desire to respond with. Salvation is universal. God wants to include everybody. Pursuing that takes real effort. Herod, on both counts, wanted to defend his own territory, didn't want to go to any effort at all. And lastly, what the Magi saw was that when you pursue the truth and you find it, the response, the instinctive response, is worship. It's the instinctive response. It's as instinctive as putting your hand into a flame and what? Keeping it there? Do you have to think about that? Oh, I wonder how long I'll keep it in here before I remove it now. It's instinctive. And that's the response of the human heart when it encounters God's glory. Deference. Emptying. Acknowledgement. Silence. Awe. And the offering of gifts. I love David's line in his kingship. I mean, David had just about everything, right? He was king. If he didn't have it, he could get it. And David's response is, I do not want to offer the Lord a gift that doesn't cost me something. Because he knew it was precisely the cost to himself that gave the gift value. And so it is in our offering with God. What is it that this year the Lord is calling us to offer him in a new way? As we rededicate ourselves to his pursuit and the all-inclusiveness of his salvation. May this new year for you be one where at the end of it, you can say, I'm closer to the Lord than I was at the beginning of the year, and I think I've served him better.